We had just talked about Ulrich Zwingli having met with this group of young men in Switzerland studying the Greek scriptures. Most of them came to the conclusion that infant baptism wasn't appropriate. Zwingli leaves the group. We pick up after that. This group of young students began to openly teach believers baptism and also separation of church and state. Zwingli and the city council in Zurich ordered them to conform to the laws of baptism, infant baptism, ordered them to conform to the laws of baptism, and forbade them to hold group meetings. So now they've been forbidden to hold group meetings. In Acts 4 and 5, when the apostles are forbidden to preach in the Lord's name, what do? They go right ahead. When Daniel's ordered not to pray publicly, what does he do? Goes right ahead. So what do you guess they're going to do on the day they've been ordered not to have any more public meetings? They have a public meeting. Yeah. Well, that evening, several members of the study group met in the hope of Felix Manz. They pledged to be true to the New Testament. Pledged to be true to the New Testament. And to teach its principles as widely as possible. Teach its principles as widely as possible. Then Conrad Grebel baptized George Blaurock, who then baptized all of the other men present. Grebel had apparently been baptized in a mountain church. Now, some folks teach Baptists begin here. There was no beginning before that. The idea of baptism by immersion begins here. But Grebel had already been baptized by a church, which means there was a church in existence before this meeting, and obviously lots of them if you've done any serious study of history. These men were not the first to teach believers baptism in Switzerland. Not the first to teach believers baptism in Switzerland. In fact, they all acknowledged that this truth had been taught for centuries by independent preachers and even occasionally by village priests. It's been taught for centuries. But these men were the first to gain the attention of all of Switzerland. The first to get the attention of the whole region. Why do you think they were able to get the attention of the whole region? By now you have the printing press. Well, instead of this being a local discussion, things get written down, they get printed, and it spreads everywhere. The printing press changed everything, just as the internet has changed everything in communication now. I have a preacher's list that occasionally I will send an article to. I'm sending it into China. I'm sending it into the United Arab Emirates. I'm sending it places I would never have dreamed of having had contact with. Well, the printing press changed this situation. What probably would have been a local debate in Zurich, never much heard of outside of Zurich, all of a sudden goes everywhere. Well, their critics begin to call them Anabaptists. Anna means again in Greek. They were mocked for not accepting infant baptism and baptizing people again after their profession of faith in Christ. They often responded they were not Anabaptists since what was being called infant baptism was not true baptism. And again, the cry, not Anabaptist, Baptist. We're not baptizing anybody for the second time. They haven't been baptized once. We're baptizing them for the first time. Not Anabaptist, Baptist. Okay. Instead, they considered themselves Baptist people practicing true baptism. Baptist people practicing true baptism. Their usual term for each other was Swiss brethren. Swiss brethren. And again, because of the printing press, as we've studied this, people that believe the Baptist distinctives are called by so many different names. They're called by regions, like the Waldenses and the Albigenses. They're called by the name of famous preachers like Donatist and Petrobrusians and Henricians. They're called by things they emphasized, like the Bible men or the Paulicians, who quoting Paul all the time. But all of those names were in an area name. Now they begin to be called Baptist around the invention of the printing press. So that name is not just being used in Switzerland, it spreads. And before long, everybody by those doctrinal convictions are called Baptist. When before, there was a lot of different names. People have asked me if I think the name will change again. I don't think so. And the reason for that is because for 500 years now, that's been a name not just that people were called in a region, but the name that people around the world that believe these truths have been called. Okay. So if you go to the Philippines, what are people that believe these things called? Baptist. Okay. You go to Africa, what are people that believe these things, what are they called? Baptist. You go to the Mideast, what are people that believe these doctrines called? Baptist. It's no longer just a regional name for a particular group of people that teach these things. It's become an international name for people that teach these things. I doubt that name will change. Well, Conrad Grebel and Felix Mons, begin to go from house to house, sharing the gospel and encouraging people to trust Christ and accept believers' baptism. House to house, sharing the gospel and encouraging people to trust Christ and accept believers' baptism. Hundreds were baptized, including a well-known former Catholic priest, Wolfgang Ulemann. Wolfgang, German name, W-O-L-F-G-A-N-G, Wolfgang Ulemann, U-L-I-M-A-N-N. The Zurich authorities began to arrest all the leaders of this movement, including Grebel and Mans. They were all sentenced to life imprisonment. And a new law was passed providing the death penalty for anyone baptizing by immersion. The prescribed punishment was death by drowning. If you were accused of being a Baptist in a Catholic-controlled region, you'd be burned to stake. If you were convicted of being a Baptist in a Protestant-controlled region, you'd be drowned. That both groups had capital punishment for Baptists. One Reformed leader was quoted as saying, "They wish to be immersed so much, let us immerse them." And in their mind, the Protestants were being merciful because drowning was a quick death. Being burnt to stake was a long, painful death. I'm not quite sure the folks who were about to be drowned felt the mercy. But in their writings, they would justify, they would consider themselves mercy, people of mercy, because the Catholic death took a lot longer. Vieter on page 138 states, "It would be a painful and useless task to detail the cruelties that followed. No persecution was ever more gratuitous and unfounded. Some of its later apologists have alleged that it was more political than religious, that it was a necessary measure to protect the state from seditious persons. It is sufficient to reply that contemporary records make no charge of sedition against the Anabaptists." No charge of sedition against the Anabaptists. These folks had been fighting the Catholics side by side. Their convictions had never caused them to stop fighting against Catholic armies. As a matter of fact, it's not their Baptist beliefs that caused them to stop fighting against Catholic armies. It's the persecution, either by putting them to death or causing them to flee up into mountains. And after the persecution starts, they quit showing up and volunteering to serve in the military for understandable reasons. So it's not their Baptist beliefs that caused them no longer to be a military factor. It's the persecution that causes them no longer to be a military factor. They would have continued to have their help had it not been for the persecution. They were condemned for Anabaptism. They were condemned for Anabaptism and for nothing else. The record stands in black and white for all men to read. The Zwinglians did not lack the determination to make their repressive measures effectual. On March 7, 1526, it was decreed by the Zurich Council that whosoever baptized should be drowned, and this action was confirmed by a second decree of March 19th. Felix Mann, who had been released for a time and had renewed his labors at Basel, another town in Switzerland, was rearrested on December the 3rd, 1526. For the heinous crime of Anabaptism. And on January 5th, he was sentenced to death by drowning. Death by drowning. This barbarous sentence was duly carried out. On the way to the place of his execution, says Dullinger, a bitterly hostile historian. Again, we're getting the history from the critics. And the statement we're about to read comes from a critic. On the way to the place of execution, says Dullinger, a bitterly hostile historian, his mother and brother came to him and exhorted him to be steadfast. And he persevered in his folly even to the end. When he was bound upon the hurdle, was about to be thrown into the stream by the executioner, he sang with a loud voice, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." And herewith was drawn into the water and drowned. For these persecutions, Zwingli stands condemned before the bar of history. As the burning of Severitas has left an eternal stain on the good name of Calvin, in spite of all attempts to explain away his responsibility for the dark deed, so the drowning of Mance is a blot on Zwingli's career as a reformer. Continuing to read here, Zwingli did not take an active part in the condemnation of Mance. If he did not fully approve the savage measures of the council, he did approve of the suppression of Anabaptism by the civil power. He did approve of the suppression of Anabaptism by the civil power. Years ago, when I was a college staff member in the town of Greenwood, Indiana, the city of Greenwood passed an ordinance forbidding Jehovah's Witnesses to go door to door. And I understand the thought process. Jehovah's Witnesses are intensely annoying. I mean, just intensely. They aggravate me to no end. One time when I was pastoring in Marion, Indiana, a group of them came to work the block I lived on and parked their car in my driveway, blocking my car so they could split up. We were in the middle of the block and go both ways. And I remember going out and screaming at them, "Get back here and move this vehicle." They said, "Just a few minutes." I said, "Not in just a few minutes. Come back here and move this vehicle now. You can't park your car in my driveway. Certainly not for this purpose, and certainly not keeping me from leaving." And we had quite a little discussion. Jehovah's Witnesses are annoying, and no doubt about it. So I understood the thought behind Greenwood passing an ordinance saying that Jehovah's Witnesses can't go door to door. But I stood with the Jehovah's Witnesses to get it changed. If civil government can tell this religious group not to go door to door, who can it tell? Everyone. Doesn't have the right to tell these people, no matter how misguided their religion or how annoying their tactics, that they cannot communicate their religion. So I stood with the Jehovah's Witnesses in fighting it, even though I was annoyed by them as you could be. And after standing with the Jehovah's Witnesses in fighting that ordinance, I still remember the first time they came to my door after that and aggravated me. Okay? But religious liberty is either religious liberty or it's not. Okay? There is no record of protest of his by voice or pen against the barbarous cruelties inflicted in the name of pure religion. in the name of pure religion on so many of God's people. Though his influence would have been all-powerful in restraining the council from passing their persecuting edicts. Grebel was spared the fate of Mance by an untimely death. His fiery spirit made him a natural leader of men in Schaffhausen, at St. Gall, at Hanwell, German geographic designations, and many of the places. He preached the gospel with great power and gathered a large number of converts into churches. Hubmaier was banished to meet his martyrdom elsewhere, and we'll talk about him later. Blaurock was burned at the stake at Klausen in Tyrol in 1529. These are different men from this original Bible study group. Blaurock, as you can, gets caught in a Catholic region, so he gets burned at the stake. Hatzer was driven out of Zurich, went to Strasbourg for a time, but being banished made his way to Constance, where he was apprehended, imprisoned for 4 months, and then put to death. Though one by one the leaders were killed or driven away or died by natural causes, by this means the persecutors at length attained their end. They didn't want these folks preaching this message, and one by one, through persecution, execution, or natural death, all the members of this Bible study are gone. The persecution at first increased the number of Anabaptists. They were, for the most part, plain unlettered folk, rich in nothing else but faith, little able to hold out unaided and unled against a persecution so bitter and determined. Bitter and determined. Gradually, the Anabaptists disappeared from the annals of Zurich, but not without having left the impress of their character on the people. The impress of their character on the people. Final statement by a historian named Blank in his book, Brothers in Christ. There will always be a need for men who, unconfused by the spirit of the age, set out for new goals and strive for a new dawn. The Swiss Anabaptists were known for their emphasis in certain areas. The most significant, of course, was their teaching about baptism for believers only. They also strongly taught religious liberty and separation of church and state. While these teachings set them in constant opposition to the state church, several of the teachings brought them great respect from the population in general. Constant opposition to the state church. These Anabaptists strongly emphasized the new commandment of love in John 13, verse 34 and 35. We'll turn there for a second. John 13, verse 34 and 35. In fact, when I first wrote the book, Faithful Baptist Witness, about Baptist history, that these notes largely come from, I was reading about them, and two things concerned me. One, I read that they had seven distinctive doctrines. And some folks list the Baptist distinctions of seven because they separate priesthood of the believer and soul liberty. But that's not why they were listed as having seven. They had something else that they considered distinctive. And I read that they were communists. Well, I don't like communism. I oppose communism in every way, shape, or form. And so it was hard to think of anything good to say about communists. But when I was first approached to write the book, it was somebody else's property. And they wanted a sample of writing. And so they were... This is what they asked me to write on, was the Swiss Anabaptists, in order to get an idea. And so I wrote on the Swiss Anabaptists, and I'm studying these two things. If you look with me at John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. A new commandment I have given to you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Here was their seventh distinctive. And they listed this, believing it as fundamental as baptism by immersion and so forth, that Christians must be bound by love one to another. And so they considered that a fundamental doctrine of their movement. And we'll see in the next paragraph here about this business of communism. The Anabaptists strongly emphasized the new commandment of love in John 13, verse 34 and 35. They practiced that truth so much that when the general population thought of them, they thought of love and commitment to one another. Love and commitment to one another. During the terrible persecutions, they often shared food, housing, money, and clothing with each other. This was so common that some outsiders thought the Anabaptists did not believe in private property. Their writing showed they did believe in private property. However, their love made sharing a common daily experience. Common daily experience. Here's what happened as I begin to get into this. If the authorities would come and take somebody's cattle, all the other Anabaptist farmers would each donate a cow or a bull to them, and by the next day they'd have a new herd. If you burnt somebody's house, somebody would take you into their home. If a preacher was killed, a family would take his widow and children into their home. So people on the outside looking in didn't get what was happening. They said, well, first you see this cattle over here, but now it's over here. And this man's wife lived here, but now he's living with this family. And these people are in this house, which is not the one they built, and they began to conclude, people always misjudge Christians, that they were communists, and they all owned everything in common, even the wives. That was never the truth. That was never their practice. If you read their writings, and because we're in the era of the printing press, now for the first time, there's a lot that Baptist people produced that's still in the record today. This was not their doctrine. This was their practice. They cared for one another. They loved one another. They helped one another. Well, their love made this sharing a common daily practice. This testimony opened the doors of public respect. The doors of public respect. To them, even when they were being persecuted by the government. The Anabaptists also taught godly living as a necessity. Godly living as a necessity for maintaining membership in the local church. Maintaining membership in the local church. Both the Roman Catholics and the Reformers taught that all citizens should be members of their church. But the Anabaptists expelled people. Anabaptists expelled people from their churches for unrepentant immorality. Unrepentant immorality. False doctrine. Unrepentant immorality. False doctrine. And not being willing to resolve personal conflicts. Unrepentant immorality, false doctrine, and not being willing to resolve personal conflicts. This gave the Anabaptist churches a reputation for purity that the other churches did not have. Excuse me. The Anabaptists agreed with both the Roman Catholics and the Protestants as to the absolute inspiration of Scripture. Absolute inspiration of Scripture. But they disagreed with the Roman Catholic teaching that the church was the sole interpreter of Scripture. They disagreed with the Roman Catholic teaching that the church was the sole authority, sole interpreter of Scripture. They disagreed with the Protestant idea that the Bible was to be interpreted by a group of scholarly teachers. In other words, they had never bought the idea that you can't disagree with Calvin or Zwingli or Knox because they're so brilliant. They disagreed with the Protestant idea that the Bible was to be interpreted by a group of scholarly teachers. They taught that every believer was indwelt by the Holy Spirit and could interpret the Bible for himself. Every believer was indwelt by the Holy Spirit and could interpret the Bible for himself. Anabaptists were also controversial for refusing to take the prescribed oaths of loyalty to the state. Prescribed oaths of loyalty to the state. And again, some folks today have wondered about that. So, well, our soldiers take oaths of loyalty. We take oaths in the court. Why wouldn't they take oaths? Because every oath to the state was an oath either to the Catholic Church or to the Reformed Church. When we take an oath of loyalty in the United States, we're taking an oath of loyalty or an oath promising honesty to a civil government, not to any church. And they felt that it was they would be acknowledging the state church if they took an oath to the state church. And so they wouldn't take oaths, and they were often in trouble for that. Since the state was inseparable from the Reformed Church, the Anabaptists felt that the oath of loyalty interfered with their religious liberty. Interfered with their religious liberty. In the United States, even in the Constitution, where an oath, a sacred oath, is required to take the office of the presidency or other constitutional offices, they allowed a provision for you to give an affirmation instead of an oath. Because atheists or some people would assume that a sacred oath was acknowledging God. In the history of the United States, every president has taken a sacred oath when they took the oath of office, except for one, Franklin Pierce. Franklin Pierce gave a written affirmation instead of a sacred oath. And it's interesting, if you read about it, Pierce was conscious of the fact he was not a saved man. And he was afraid God would be offended with an oath from an unsaved man. So he wrote out an affirmation, which the Constitution made provision for. Okay? Well, most Anabaptists also refused to serve in the military because they felt the church-controlled state was their enemy. Why would an Anabaptist not want to be in the military? What are you going to do if the military's next mission is to hunt down your Anabaptist neighbors? Others refused to serve because they were pacifists. Some of the Swiss Anabaptists were pacifists. They did not believe in violence. But before we, you know, and we certainly hold to a right of self-defense, but before we judge them too quickly, what had they seen of violence? Catholics killing Protestants, Protestants killing Catholics, and Catholics and Protestants killing Baptists. They were not thinking in the same terms that we are when we come to the discussion of this. Anabaptists also refused to have their marriage ceremonies performed by officials of the state church. They refused to have their marriage ceremonies performed by the officials of the state church. This caused many people to believe they were not married and were guilty of immorality. I have come across parents who were unsaved, who were devout Catholic or devout Orthodox, and their children were saved, and their children were going to get married in a church I pastor. And they didn't believe that the marriage was legal because it wasn't performed by a Catholic priest or an Orthodox priest. The mindset, if that's what you're taught. Well, they felt their lifetime pledged to each other, witnessed by a preacher and local witnesses. Local witnesses constituted biblical marriage. The children of Anabaptists often had to grow up being considered illegitimate by those around them. If your mom and dad were not married at the church, not married at the state church, I don't believe God for a moment considered their marriage as illegitimate. Marriage being a legal contract, I think marriage should be performed with the sanction of the state whenever that's possible. But there are places where it's not possible. And when it's not, for example, in a number of Muslim countries, you could not go and get a state-sanctioned marriage unless you were Muslim. So in such a case, Christians are still going to want to marry, and I would go with the wedding performed by a preacher and recognized by local witnesses as a biblical lifetime covenant as legitimate marriage. Just because it's not performed in a mosque doesn't make it illegitimate. But in circumstances like that we face here, this is not an issue we're having to wrestle with from day to day. There are other places and other times where that is different. The Swiss Anabaptists had made such an impact on the Swiss people that their ideas eventually began to take hold. Today, the Swiss have religious freedom and separation of church and state. Religious freedom and separation of church and state. The integrity, sacrifice, and faithfulness. Integrity, sacrifice, and faithfulness of the early Swiss Anabaptists. Integrity, sacrifice, and faithfulness of the early Swiss Anabaptists led to the conversion of thousands in Switzerland, Holland, southern Germany, and Austria. And man, is there an important lesson to learn in this about ideas both good and bad? We have in America this instant gratification society. We advocate an idea, and when do we expect people to adopt it? Right now. That is not how these things work. One of my great criticisms of the Republican Party is they advocate ideas, and if in 2 weeks they receive some criticism, they abandon them. That is not how ideas are spread. Ideas are spread at first with a recognition of a tiny minority. But you keep pounding home those ideas. And ideas that have truth behind them can eventually develop a following, and unfortunately, ideas that are completely false will eventually develop a following. And this is where liberals are so much smarter than conservatives in the United States. They'll advocate an idea and advocate it and advocate it and advocate it for decades, even centuries, till they get the public or the law in tune with that idea. They campaigned for decades for abortion and got it. They campaigned decades for gay marriage, and they're getting it. And conservatives seem to run and hide if their ideas aren't accepted in the first 2 weeks after they're advocated. The Swiss Anabaptists are persecuted for advocating religious liberty. But if you'll jump ahead a couple centuries, religious liberty is the law in Switzerland. They won the battle, even though in the beginning you could see where it didn't look like they were going to, but they won the battle. I have often said the only thing I admire about liberals is their perseverance. They never give up on an idea. And if they're defeated, they just regroup and they advance it again. Well, going back to the ministry of the early Swiss Anabaptists, their descendants traveled to Russia with the gospel. And they helped pioneer the early settlements on the American frontier. They helped to settle once and for all the name to be attached to this movement, Baptist. Their answer, a Baptist, not Anabaptist. Baptist, not Anabaptist, gave the Baptist movement the name it carries to this day. The name it carries to this day. The German Anabaptist. And here we get to in the confusion that can exist over names. In Switzerland, the name Anabaptist is applied to people who believe all of what we call the Baptist distinctives. That is not true in Germany. In Germany, the name Anabaptist is applied to anyone who believes in separation of church and state. So consequently, in Germany, the name Anabaptist gets applied to some people we would be embarrassed to be associated with. Because all it took to carry that name in Germany was you believed in separation of church and state, or even you believed in disestablishing the Catholic Church. So there are people who get called Anabaptists in Germany that are heretics. In fact, some of the most famous Anabaptists in Germany were people who sprinkled babies. Now, Baptists, they don't believe in baptism by immersion. They don't even, there's no reason to put the name on them. But as time developed, that is what Baptists got called. That is what people who believed in separation of church and state got called. One of the horrible challenges of the day and age in which we live is that to many people, the term independent fundamental Baptist today refers to preachers who misuse young women. Now, that's not fair. That's not historical. That's certainly not the majority of people who are called independent fundamental Baptist. But if you Google independent fundamental Baptist on the internet, that's what comes up. And this is why you always have to be careful with names. What does the name mean? Not just what is it, what does it mean? The name Anabaptist in Germany simply means you believe in separation of church and state. So it gets applied to a lot of people that we would not want to identify with. Well, in 1524, in Augsburg, Germany, Hans Koch, K-O-C-H, Hans Koch, and Leonard Meister, M-E-Y-S-T-E-R, Leonard Meister. Hans Koch and Leonard Meister were put to death for holding Baptist views. The purpose of their murders was to stop the Anabaptist influence in Augsburg. But this procedure failed miserably. By 1525, an Anabaptist church was organized in Augsburg and grew to 1,100 members by 1527. That's not bad for a two-year-old church. There were four pastors associated with this church. Hans Denk, H-A-N-S-D-E-N-C-K, Hans Denk, who is the senior pastor, a bishop, the pastor in charge over other pastors. Remember our early lessons together. Balthasar Hubmeier, who had fled from Switzerland, Balthasar Hubmeier, B-A-L-T-H-A-S-A-R, B-A-L-T-H-A-S-A-R, Balthasar Hubmeier, who had fled from Switzerland, Ludwig Hatzer, L-U-D-W-I-G, H-A-T-Z-E-R, H-A-T-Z-E-R, and Hans Hutt, Hans, H-A-N-S, Hutt, H-U-T. Hubmeier had baptized Denk. Remember, he'd been one of the Swiss Anabaptist preachers. And now he's gone to Germany and he baptized Denk, and Denk forms a church there. And had been instrumental in the formation of the church. It is clear, both from the writings of the church leaders, and from the critics of the church, that the Augsburg Church taught all of the Baptist distinctives. The church at Augsburg became a center for church planting, and training preachers. A center for church planting and training preachers throughout southern Germany. Church planting and training preachers. God raises up some churches and gives them specially the ministry of preparing folks for other churches. You see that all throughout history. This is one of those churches right here where we're standing today. this church in Augsburg was such a church. God does not raise up every church for that purpose. But it's clear at times He raises up some churches for that purpose. Well, the church at Augsburg helped to start a church at Strasbourg in 1526. And Hans Deck moved there by 1527 and assumed that pastorate. Deck and Hutt called for a conference of Baptist preachers and led a meeting of representatives from 60 churches located in South Germany and Switzerland. Baptists in Strasbourg gained such influence. Baptists in Strasbourg gained such influence that for a time religious liberty was practiced in the city. Hans Deck died from a local plague in 1528 at only 32 years of age. In only four years, he had proved to be an incredible church leader, leading in the establishment and growth of two large churches. I mean, in just 4 years. First 2 years as a pastor, he builds a church from scratch to running 1,100, then builds a large church in the next city that down the road in 2 years. Some folks have a unique gift. Everybody has a unique gift from God. Some folks' unique gift is being able to reach large numbers of people through a local church ministry. I don't personally believe everybody has that gift or that everybody should feel inferior if they don't have that gift. But I do believe God gifts some people to that. And often they need a lot of people around them to help carry that out and fulfill that potential of that ministry. In the year of Denk's death, Hans Leupold, who took Denk's place as the bishop or senior pastor of the Augsburg Church, was arrested at a prayer meeting. 87 others were arrested with him. You know, think about that Wednesday night. We go to prayer meetings and we're not worried about anybody coming and arresting us. In prison, he wrote several hymns that expressed his love and devotion to Christ and the Word. After a local trial, he was beheaded, and five other church leaders were also killed. Every known church member was branded with a hot iron. And others were also whipped and ordered out of town with the threat of death if they returned. By 1530, there was no longer a Baptist church meeting in Augsburg. Every known church member was branded with a hot iron. Others were also whipped, ordered out of town with the threat of death if they returned. By 1530, there was no longer a Baptist church meeting in Augsburg. Sometimes persecution has tremendous short-term success. One more paragraph. Persecution spread, and in 1538, the pastor and 70 members of the Baptist Church in Rottenburg were beheaded and their bodies burned. Their pastor, Leonard Scheimer, had been a former Roman Catholic priest, as had the pastor of the Baptist Church in Schwartz. The Schwartz pastor's trial records that he was clearly a Baptist in the sense of teaching all the Baptist distinctives. His belief in Bible truth cost him his head. At Salzburg, 18 Baptists were burned at the stake, and 70 Baptists, including two pastors, were executed in Linz. Baptists became known as Garden Brethren. People called them the Garden Brethren. Why did they call them the Garden Brethren? From their practice of meeting by night in gardens and isolated places. They tried to meet where they would not be observed. So they got called the Garden Brethren, because that's often the place where they met. Tomorrow morning, we will pick back up on the German Anabaptist. We meet at 8 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken, and we'll have 2.5 sessions together, and we will pick up beginning with the German Anabaptist and moving from there. God bless you all. Have a good evening.